Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I ask you that your anointing will be present to help me solve the problems of the people who are available here, and help me also to unmask the subject of sex. Spirit of God, above all, let the hearts of my hearers burn with this subject. Let there be no thorns, thistles, or barren places that would destroy this work. At the end of this program, we're asking for purity in the lives of singles and strong families, strong society, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Just be seated. The topic under examination is sex. The person that is talking to you, the person that introduced me, I almost didn't stand up. I didn't know it was me they were talking about. I appreciate Onyema. Thank you for not stealing that money. When he told me the story, my mind was wondering. FX, my mind was wondering. You don't have collected the money for us to do Living Your Dreams, or you don't have saved life. But I thank God he saved life. He had opportunity to make go away with that money because the people were unconscious. The car was abandoned and it was 3 a.m. in the morning. Good. Unmasking sex. You know, when people saw our banners, you know the first thing they said? When we gave our handbills out, they said, God forbid. How can a church be talking about sex? They said, no, it's not a church, it's a social organization. They said, they don't see anything talk about sex, sex. The fact about it is, just like you talk about money, and you talk about how to entrepreneurship, you talk about economics, you talk about public relations, banking. Sex is a subject matter just like any other subject matter. There is nothing mushy-wishy about sex. There is nothing so all about sex. It's a normal thing. So if we can talk about money, we can talk about sex. If we can talk about banking, we can talk about sex. The only problem is the purpose has been destroyed. When the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. My first question, they told you I teach on purposeful living. What is the purpose of sex? The first purpose, usually, listen to me. I'm going to tell you a lot of stories and I might not follow my slide. Some children from a secondary school entered a Christian bookshop. And while they were looking at it, they saw a book, sex. God thought about it first. They started giggling. Wow. God thought about sex? The person that originated sex is not Hollywood. It's not Bollywood. It's not Nollywood. The person that originated the subject of sex is God, please. And just like you know, if you want to use any product, you ask the manufacturer. For us to know the purpose of a thing, we must go back to ask the person who invented it. Do you agree with me? When the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. This is microphone. When you do not know what is useful, you hear phone. You can put it in your ear and start using it to answer a phone call. The question is, what is sex for? I put it up there. It is for procreation. Please listen very attentively. Secondly, sex is for communication and bonding between married couples. I want to say, if sex is for procreation, it then means that the people who are into same-sex relationship cannot fulfill the purpose of sex. Because Adam and Steve cannot give back to Stephen. Eve and Eva cannot give back to Evaristus. The first purpose of sex is for procreation. The second purpose of sex is for communication within the context of marriage. Everyone that is married here, shout hallelujah. Now, sex is very sweet and addictive. Very sweet and addictive. Why did God make sex very sweet and addictive? He made it like that so that it will be a tool for keeping husband and wife together. Please understand. It will be a tool to get them addicted to each other. Within the context of marriage is a communication tool. Now, please, I'd like you to also hear what I'm about to say. When you have sex outside marriage, of course, one of the things you know that can result, it can result in unwanted pregnancy. Beyond unwanted pregnancy, it can result to an unwanted child. No matter how professional you are in abortion, there are some children that have refused to be aborted. In fact, one of my pastor's wives, the mother, did everything. Said, ah, this person, the children don't reach. As they shoot and they draw, it will go that way. Say, me, I must come out. They shoot, they never. Me, I must come out. There are some of you here, they did everything to abort you. You refuse to come out. In fact, you hid. And your mother thought that that was the end. And at the end of the day, you still came out. Some of us, our parents said, we need only 3 children. The 4th one comes. You say, no, we don't want any other child. It happens. Now, when a child is born outside wedlock, when you have sex outside marriage and a child comes out of it, there is a curse. In Deuteronomy chapter 23 verse 1, it says for 10 generations, a bastard is forbidden from entering the congregation. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hear 10 generations, it's not 10 years. It's between 50 and 100 years. So a bastard, if God does not do anything, he's under a curse. He comes in with a curse, and if nothing is done, he goes back with a curse. But I thank God for Jesus. Are you still here? Are you still here? There are only 2 curses in the Bible where it is said 10 generations. The curse of a bastard is one of them. Only 2 places. Curses last for 4 generations, but this is the only place. So if you are thinking about having a kid, say, I want to test to see whether she's fertile. The moment you impregnate that woman and there's no bright spots on her head, you are bringing in a curse upon yourself and the children. So let's move on. I said sex is between married couples. What is the problem we have with sex in our society today? Why is sex a problem? Is it supposed to be a problem? It's not supposed to be a problem. Why does it look like sex is a problem? Because we have wrong perspective about sex. This is the problem. The problem is the defilement of sex. If we will be able to unmask sex, we will come to discover that is a normal thing. There is nothing heavy about it. Is that okay? What are the perspectives? The first one, let's look at it. Who designed sex? I need you to talk to me. Who designed sex? How many of you know that sex came in before the fall of man? Adam must have slept, made love to his wife before the fall. Remember that when he met his wife, he shouted, wow! I've never seen anything like this before. Remember that men, their greatest sexual organ is what they see. Women, their greatest sexual organ is when you talk to them. So you can stimulate a woman just by talking to her. If you're an experienced man, you're experienced in bad things, and you know how to use your mouth. That's just easy. Is it? And you know how to use your mouth, you can get any lady who is not watching to fall. Who is not watching. The greatest sex organ for the woman is talk. Just sweet. You're so ravishing. You're so gorgeous. I've never met any woman like you. Don't get me wrong. I've met ladies. I've met several of them. If there is this thing about you that makes you so special. He means you're special in bed. He means... Great. Now, let me tell you something. We are sexual beings. We are created. If you look at... I made a research. I discovered that 18 square inches of your skin weighs 8 pounds. Every 18 square inches of your skin weighs 8 pounds. 5 million nerve endings is within every 18 square inches. 5 million. Listen again. Every 5 inch of your skin has 72 feet of nerves and 15 feet of blood vessels. You know what they are doing? Every information that touches the skin goes through the spinal cord to the brain. The brain brings it in within the slightest minute. There are 5 million nerve endings that takes the information from the skin to the brain. There is a difference between a hug and a carouse. Because there is a way that will massage you, is no longer a hug. And it's not a holy massage. It's not anointing oil too. They are not rubbing anointing oil for you to fall. There is a way somebody will touch you. It will trigger off 5 million nerve endings. And please take it from me. It once break fail. You get to that enter you say, you want to. Are you still here? No, anybody here that says, I am so holy that no matter any another, I know myself. No shaking. Now lie they talk. A young convert gave his life to Christ. And then he didn't understand why once in a while you have urge. He will see himself. Some kind of thoughts will pass through here. He's tempted. Listen, temptation is not a sin. It's what you do with the temptation that becomes a sin. You know what? He prayed and prayed and fasted and fasted and fasted. He didn't stop. He went to a toilet, took a knife. He said, God said, whatever, if your right hand causes you to sin. I'm telling you a story. It was on newspaper. Hey, go here. He went and removed his penis. And was almost bleeding to death when he was taken to the hospital. Because in his concept, he did not understand that it is natural for you to be tempted. It is what you do with the temptation that is the problem. Ask my husband. He says it all the time. He's a man. Have you heard him say that? He's not a spirit. He's not Jesus. And every man here, listen to me. All you do is, the word is flee. Don't stay and say, let me try my grace. The Bible said, grace is sufficient. Are you still here? Tell your neighbor you're a human being. Tell your neighbor you're a human being. So anybody can be tempted. The next perspective about sex, I told you that it's designed by God. It runs through your mind. And I've told you that sex is supposed to be done within the context of marriage. Now let me tell you, test is not what brings commitment. Otherwise, all the prostitutes, people would have been committed to them. What brings commitment is character. Nobody will commit to you because you are good in bed. My husband will always say, when he's talking to young people, there is no day they will say, Oceanic Bank or UBA is looking for workers. They say, criteria, sex, bedmatics, number one. Ability to display different styles in there. And there's no that they will say, oh yeah, for evidence, the credential for getting marketing job is to bring the trophy you received the day that you had the best sex. And nobody will call you for an interview and say, you now begin to use it to boast. Say, me, if you try me, you go feel faint when I do you. You don't say, let me sleep with him. If I sleep with him, he will love me. Sex does not make people commit themselves to you. It is your character. And listen to me. Premarital sex only shows that character is in short supply. Do you still love me here? Are you sure? Now, if you look at the Bible, sex didn't start today. Sexual exploitation or evolution or whatever we call it didn't start today. In Bible days, when they used to worship idols, there were prostitutes outside the temple. When you come to worship the idol, when you finish, you also go and sleep with some prostitutes outside. It is a form of worship to the idol. And now, in Bible days, sex was done on the altar as a worship to the idols. So all this sexual promiscuity or whatever we got, it didn't start in our days. There is nothing new under the sun. It's been there all the time. So that was why in the book of Corinthians, Paul was calling them that what you used to do when you were pagans, you want to come to this place and do it, because they were expecting that when you come to church, before you come, there are prostitutes that you will sleep with as a worship to God. Then when you go back, you sleep with the same prostitute. That was why they didn't understand. They didn't know that when you come here, the issue is different. Now, may I tell you that premarital sex, that sex outside marriage, produces emotional and psychologically immature adults. When you indulge in sex before marriage, one of the things it does is one of the things it goes to destroy is your emotions. Because some of us, you take your self-esteem with from how good I am in bed. He said that he has slept with 1,000 women. He said, Solomon, but none has ever tasted like my own. And then the day he leaves you, you're emotionally devastated. Because your entire self-esteem has been built on sex. Now, if you have not matured intellectually, you have not matured financially, and you are very, very, very matured on when it comes to sex, what happens is you're going to have a psychological problem because you'll be standing on just one leg. You are just fat on one leg. So we look for balanced maturity. But the problem with our generation is everybody is pursuing sex. You see it on the internet, pornography. You see it on Playboy magazine. We can't even, as many when you buy Bible, you see a naked woman on it. They are using it to sell cars. Imagine they are selling the latest Maxima. They put it on the internet and a naked woman, half naked woman, is standing there. They are using sex, almost harassing and embarrassing us with sex. So you must make up your mind that I must mature before I dive into this. Is that okay? Now, if you sleep with somebody before my premarital sex, it is difficult to develop trust when you get married. And trust is essential for marriage relationship. It's something we have to avoid because the consequences are grievous. I want us to look at this perspective. Okay. Down. I have two perspectives here, and you choose the perspective you want to be. Number one is, the red one is what the world is saying about sex. The green one is what God is saying about sex. Now you tell me whose part you will join. You are free to say, no, I refuse, God, oh, you don't concern me. Sex is just an act. That's what the world is saying. It's just an act. But God says, sex joins two people, body, soul, and spirit. The world says, sex is just a casual form of relaxation. When you need to relax and you're so tensed up, you go for sex. But God says sex is pure expression of love within the bounds of marriage. The world said just moving together, you don't need a piece of paper to prove your love. God says there is no love without commitment. The world says Christianity is just a bunch of rules. God says my rules are not burden to you. They are there to protect you. Many people think that if you're a Christian, you don't have a life again, you don't enjoy your life. Because there are rules and rules. But these rules are meant to protect you. God will not stop being God because you didn't obey him. Nothing is going to happen to him. But we break ourselves against the rules. I will talk about it later. The next one says, it feels good. If it feels good, do it. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You gotta try. Just do it. Do it as long as it feels good. God says, do good even when it feels bad. The world says, how you look is everything. God says, you look on the outward appearance, but I look on the heart. The world says, no one will know. Only us are here. God says, I see all things. The world says, go ahead. God will forgive you. After all, you haven't done it in a long time. You are not even the only one doing it. God says, repent and sin no more. Are you still here? Are you still here? Yes, ma'am. The world says, I will change him or her after we are married. God says, work on yourself before you get married. The world says, monogamy is old-fashioned. If you have one girlfriend or one wife, it's not good. God says, no, one woman for one man and one man for one woman is my model for the home and society as a whole. The world says, practice self-safe sex. God says, the only self-safe sex outside of marriage is no sex at all. Condoms have holes. All you need is a little tiny microscopic hole in a condom. You will catch what the person has. The world says, you should be free to express your sexuality. God says, only true love can you understand your sexuality. The world says, once you are married, the relationship takes care of itself. God says, love is strong, but it's vulnerable to neglect. You keep working on your marriage. You keep doing what you are doing after you got the woman. The world says, dress to attract. God says, dress, tastefully and modestly. The world says you must be in a relationship to be happy. God says true joy comes from knowing me. The world says two consenting adults should be free to do anything. God says honor me with your body. The world says flirting is a fun pastime. God says flirting is a form of deceit. The world says if you don't approve of homosexuality, you are filled with hate. God says I hate the sin of homosexuality, but I love the homosexual. The world says some people are born homosexual. God said in the beginning I made them male and female. Are you still here? Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor. Ask your neighbor, where do you stand, the red or the green? Get up and say to two people, where are you standing? Say it to two people, are you afraid of the person's face? The world says, finding a mate is a game you must learn to play. God says, I brought Eve to Adam. I can bring your spouse to you if you ask me. The world says, faith doesn't make any difference in marriage. God says, faith makes all the difference in marriage. The world says, I can hang out with a bad girl or a bad boy now. When I get married, I will find someone nice. God says, bad company corrupts good character. The world says, you can divorce your spouse on any grounds. God says, he who divorces his spouse on any grounds except unfaithfulness commits adultery. The world says you may forgive but won't forget. God says forgive as I have forgiven you. The world says stay in love. Staying in love requires good sex. God says sex is not the foundation of love, it's the expression of love. The world says cupid is the author of love. God says I am the author and the foundation of love. The world says a good book on physical love, like Playboy magazine, your pornographic website, will help set your sex life. God says sacrificial love will help your sex life. The world says attraction is instant. God says intimacy takes time. The world says if you meet somebody you like better than your spouse, go for the person. God says love is faithful. The world says a one-night stand is exciting, you know. Who let the dogs out? And God says a lifetime of commitment is fulfilling. The world says, I can't wait. What I feel for you is so strong that I can't control it. The world says, real love is willing to wait. If you really love me, you will wait for me. If you love me, love, the world says, love contributes, lust contributes to great sex. God says, loving kindness contributes to great sex. Sex is the only thing. What God says, love is the real thing. Dressing promiscuously will attract men. Having inner beauty will attract the right man. Even the men agree. When they want to marry, they will leave you that is naked. They will go and find somebody who knows what it means to dress well. The world says everybody is doing it. That's having sex. And God says, life is not dictated by what everybody does. You follow me and I will make you. Is that correct? The world says sex is about getting. God says sex is about giving. The world says sex is right if I'm in love. God says sex is right if you're married. The world says a little. The world says I can look as long as I don't touch. God says the eyes are the windows to your heart. The world says it's a shame to be a virgin. God says it's an honor to be a virgin. The world says when dating, just don't go all the way. Just do small. Maybe kiss, heavy petting. God says when dating, treat your date with the respect that you will show your brother or your sister. The world says it's just natural for teens to be crazy for the opposite sex. God says you are more than a body. You are a person created in my image. The world says use protection. God says use self-control. The world says, who cares if I break my marriage vows? God says, I care. The world says, sex is everything. God says, sex is part of a healthy marriage. The world says, pornography does not hurt anyone. God says, pornography hurts everyone it touches, especially you. The world says maybe a child can save our marriage. In other words, if I'm pregnant for him, I go and formulate a report. He will take the baby. He will just quickly marry me. The world, God says, only I can save your marriage. The world says, I love him, even though he doesn't share my faith. God says, don't join yourself with an unbeliever. The world says, why tie yourself down with just one person? God says, without commitment, love cannot grow. The world said, the most important thing is physical attraction. God says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. The world says, we have a marriage of convenience. God says, the intent of marriage is for two people to become one. I'll be talking to married people today. With that, I have almost treated everything I'm going to treat today. But be that as it may, let's pick it up from here. The next question is, where should we learn about sex? Let's be very objective. Is it from our church? From the family? From our home? You see these boys? See these boys? Who let the dogs out? Or our friends? Where should we learn about sex? Where should we learn about sex? From? If you say from the street, maybe from the barber shop where you are there, or maybe you go and see your friends on the campus, and everybody is talking about their sexual exploits. This one say, I slew her. She was an easy lay. She was a loud. I never even talk. Reach 10 minutes when the thing happened. We use different words for sex this way these days. Maybe everybody is talking. You don't have anything to say. You just find one light and you are contributing, so that they. Your rep will go the high. Because many of us, our self-esteem has been built from how many women you're able to lay, to slew, to do. The men, nobody's even using the men's sex. We are making out. There's another one they use now. There's another word they use for sex. It's no longer making out. It's another different word. I can't remember. If I remember it, I'll use it. How many of you remember it? There's another one. Huh? After flex, there's still another one. Huh? There is still another one they use. Because I know that I was there, two of my daughters were talking, and was giving the girl advice, and said, you mean because of he used that name? I said, what did you say? He said, well, mama, forget about it. Well, where should we learn about sex? Our church, our family, and our friends. It is important for us to notice that the foundation for life and the inventor and the creator of life, we will always go back to him. He said, train a child in the way that he should go. When he grows up, he will not depart from it. Ladies and gentlemen, I sat down to read Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. He's actually a father given the child advice. God is so beautiful and so wonderful that he took the advice that somebody's father was given, the person to correct the child, to train us on the issue of sex. Education is supposed to start from the home. Our parents should unmask sex for us from the home. A little girl saw a woman, pregnant woman. He turned to the mom, said, mommy, what is in her stomach? The woman, the mother said, it's a balloon. Remember, children like balloon. And he was in a church. The woman, the little girl pursued this auntie and was trying to open auntie's stomach to bring out balloon. May I tell us, when did formal education begin? It was during the Industrial Revolution. They needed skilled workers, so they had to bring out formal school to train people to be able to handle the revolution of those days. But before then, even if you check Israel, training of the child begins at home. Between 1 year, when the child is 6 months, 1 year to 2 years, that's when we start training this child about sex. That's when we hug the child. That's when we tell the child beautiful words, wonderful words. What are we doing? We are preparing the child not to be embarrassed when people talk about sex. When the child starts growing and he gets to the next stage between the ages of 3 and 6, he's curious. He starts wondering, how come my body is different from the body of this one? He wants to find out too many things. He has too many questions to answer.
And if the mother is pregnant, we should use the right words to explain to these children. Listen, their generation is stronger than our own. What my child says, when I was his age, I'm not sure I said it. There is nothing that does not come out from his mouth when it comes to sensible things. Beat him. And when I come home, he'll say, Mommy, Ma, okay. Ebere beat you. Beat me. Ebere, I say, he beat you. Say, yes. There is nothing. And he's less than 3. Between the ages of 3 and 6. Don't say they don't know anything. And then you start using codes to try for them not to hear. There is a word we use, Mukindosh. Where did he get it from? There is this man and the wife. Whenever they want to talk about sex, they use the word Mukindosh. They were trying to code it from their kids, not knowing that in the process of time, the children understood what the word Mukindosh meant. So this time television was on and they were Mukindoshing on TV. The baby said, Daddy, Daddy, Mukindosh. Now, by the time you use that word Mukindosh, you have told the child that there is something about this, something extra, something strange. But if you unmask it from the beginning, he doesn't get embarrassed. Now, you know something about curiosity. Why did they say curiosity kills a cat? When you hide anything, curiosity will make them to find it out. You get to the next stage between the ages of 6 and ages of 9. It is another stage where their minds are open. They are like a sponge. They can take in anything. That's when you watch the child and you are careful that this child is not abused. You train the child outside your brothers, outside your daddy. Don't sit on an uncle's legs. You train the child on what it means to be sexually abused. Don't mask it. Make it as plain as it's possible. Don't hide it in a mystery. It's not this is the mystery that even our faith. This is the mystery that overcomes the world. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Sex is not a mystery. Sex is everywhere, including our phones. If I check your phones, I'm going to see pornography. Some of you is your ringing tone. In fact, in these days in universities, 2 people will be having sex. Somebody will take the picture and start forwarding it as a text message. It's no longer secret. During the days of our parents, it was secret. Now it's not secret. It's everywhere. So let the parents teach their children. Sex education must begin at home. And then you come to the next stage, between the ages of 6 to 9, 10 to 14. Then you have the explosive teenage stage. A teenager is so open. He wants to test it. This thing said, man, see what it be. But if you tell them at home, when they see it and meet it on the streets, they are not embarrassed. So sex should start from the house. And then the next place we should talk about church, sex, is in church. We should be able to tell our congregation the correct thing about sex. If we love them, we'll tell them the truth. It is now left for them to take or not to take. Why am I saying that sex should be talked about at home? Because when I was checking my Bible, I took up the books of Proverbs chapter 5 from verse 1 to 23. That before then, if you are not married, premarital sex is a curse. It brings a spiritual curse on you and you need to go for deliverance. But if you are married, sex is a form of worship. Before I talk to singles, let me talk to married people. Sex is a form of worship. Why am I saying this? There are many marriages that are being destroyed because of sex. The husband tells the wife, let us do. They say, eh? Now? Today is Sunday. Today is Sunday. It's a holiday. In fact, we are fasting 3 days. 3 days of fasting and praying in church. Ah! My husband, you don't want God to answer this our prayer. Sex is, you're not supposed to use sex to manipulate your spouse. Your husband says, ah, my darling, there is something happening to me in the office. There is this secretary. I don't know, there is a way she's wiggling her waist. Ah! You, deacon in church! Papa Ben will hear about this. He will close up. He won't tell you again. He told you so that 2 of you will put heads together to solve the problem. Or you take the other turn. The secretary, he don't know who I be for this Benin. Your husband hasn't finished. You don't even know whether I'm secretary one or secretary two. You have tired apart to go and fight. After fighting, you discover you fought the wrong person. Hello. And then we don't, it goes two ways. Man, your wife is a gift of God to you. You don't say, you don't want to give me sex. You see, there are over 400 women outside that are even begging me. If you are not careful, I will go outside. I will go outside. Hey, going outside is dangerous, and I will show you today. Sex is a form of worship. If you are married, open your eyes. If you are not married, close your eyes. I'm just teasing. What do I mean? I have been teaching you on this, and today I decided to put it in a picture. This is the tabernacle of Moses. What you have here is the altar court. This is the altar of sacrifice. What you have here is wash basin. There are two rooms inside here. The holy place and the holiest of all. I'm going to use this to explain sex to my beautiful congregation. Is that all right? Now, what do you have here? Altar courts. Husband. What thing they won't do for night? Now, morning, then they start them. Altar of sacrifice. You must be able to offer sacrifice for this woman. You don't only wait for her birthday to buy her birthday present. You don't only wait on Mother's Day to buy her birthday present. When you are coming back, take some sacrifice. Make this woman feel as good as she used to feel when you were dating her. Don't use words to bring her down. Remember that this woman, while you are away, she has been running around three children at the same time. Children are wonderful to take care of. Children. Yesterday night, my son decided that daybreak was at 1:30 a.m. And he was wide awake. His eyes were shining. I said, hey, sleep. For where? The next thing, he walked back up. Reverend Ben, open the door. Your wife may have spent the whole day running after Junior, running after Junior's brother, running. They will cry, come down. Oh, these children. She has done that all day. She has made breakfast, lunch, and dinner. She has washed the clothes. Then she comes. You come back at night. Instead of you to say it nicely, you expect her to be a superwoman again at night. There is a way to go about it. That is the sacrifice. You won't come and say, I'm the man of this house. Open your leg now. The Bible says soft answer turns away. Now you leadership is not lordship. You don't lord it. You are not a senior prefect. You don't lord it over everybody in your house. Why is it that when you come, everybody is gone? My husband saw me with the child, tying the child on my back, trying to prepare this message. He said, my wife, sorry. Halfway through, he took the child. Oh yeah, you go and sleep. Even when we gave birth, halfway through, the baby will refuse to be appeased. You have run around in the office. She has run around at home. Now we have come back. Let's use sacrifice. There are so many ways to offer your wife sacrifice. There are ways to get your wife to do what she does not want to do. Whenever you go, I say, headache. There is a kind of Panadol that removes this headache. Men, listen to me. The difference between men and women. Men always want to score high points. 30 points, 40 points. You do the big things. And so you are surprised that you just bought your wife the latest Murano. The wife says, you don't love me. You are wondering, what is she talking about? I just bought you this. She wants you to do the small things. You're trying to score 40. She wants to score you 10%. And that 10% is enough for her. It is very small things that you have neglected to do. That is sacrifice. What is your wife? What is your spouse's primary love language? Let me not go there. You see those priests? They're offering. They want God to accept something. So they carry sacrifice. You want to approach your wife in sex? What must I do next? Easy. Wash the mind of the woman. They are here washing their legs, washing their hands. Use your words and wash her. Use your words and lift her up. I told you that the woman's powerful, most biggest sexual organ is words. What happened to the sweet tongue you used when you got her? When you used to wait for her by the side of her father's house. And she said, leave me alone. Leave me. I'm going. He said, excuse me. You are not a gentleman, but you behave like a gentleman. In fact, the wife you married now, I know how many times she dropped phone on you. Say, you are disturbing me. Leave me alone. And then you use a strange number to call. So I just want to say I love you. You sent your friends. You sent everybody. You even cried. And now she's your wife. You can't even remember one sweet word. You are keeping those baritone voice for girlfriend. Money when they spend for girlfriend, throw away. Because after some time, she will go and marry someone else. Your motor loss. Your investment loss. Why don't you invest in your family? Now, this is the middle room. Remember that I told you that there is a middle room. I want to unveil these two rooms. Listen to me. The man is the priest. The woman is the tabernacle. Lady, you allow a boy to touch you, including the places they call private. Your body is a tabernacle. The man is a priest. So when we go from this place, when you get here, the number of priests that comes to the holy place begin to reduce. At this place, there are so many. At this place, there are so many. You can see so many. But the more you go further, the more we are now saying, we are talking about courtship. We are talking about the number of people who are asking, worrying you, telling you this, they begin to reduce. In this place, what do you have? You have three furnitures. The first furniture is the furniture you call table of shewbread. The second furniture is the furniture you call altar of incense. The third furniture is the furniture you call golden lampstand. Please, men, train your wife. Nobody, listen, anybody can learn if it is properly packaged. Sometimes the training we are trying to give is not properly packaged. Everybody does not receive training, receive correction the same way. Find a correction that works for your wife and use that correction to train your wife. Remember that these are two different individuals coming together to make one. We have two different backgrounds. We have contrasting characters, contrasting views, contrasting everything. You, as the priest of the home, must illuminate the mind of your wife. Stop comparing your wife with one girl you met outside. Stop comparing her with somebody's wife. Stop comparing her with Abani. You saw Abani before you came to marry her. Whatever you want your wife to be, train her. It will take some time, but she will learn it. You see a beautiful kind of dress in a lady's body, and they were almost going for the lady because of the dress. Get the dress for your wife. You saw a shoe. There is a... Oh, am I talking to anybody? Anybody can receive training. Get up and say to two people, we have to be trained. Say it very loud. Ah. May I say to us, that it's important that we notice this candle burns for 365 days. There is no moment you should talk your wife down. And that brings me to the next furniture. The next furniture is called shewbread. Before I talk about shewbread, I want to talk about altar of incense. Why will friendship disappear from our marriage? Because we are now 2 years married. We were friends before you became my husband and my wife. Why can't we remain friends? Somebody said, how could we be lovers if we have never been friends? Do you know that 5 years after marriage, we can still be friends? 20 years after marriage, we can still be friends. What do you do? Burn incense of friendship in the marriage. Make sure that friendship is not disappearing. Young man, if your wife is beginning to be afraid of you, it's not a healthy situation. When she becomes afraid, she will not tell you so many things. When she's bothered, she will not tell you so many things. Stop competing with your wife. Stop saying, if I bring her out, she will outshine me. Bring her out. She bears your name. Listen to me. You see all the accolades they used. to bring me up here. By the time they finished, it was one accolade that deserved it. She's married to Benson Ahigbe II. Everything. In my village, a young girl, very wealthy, married. After some time, she said she won't marry again. She was quarreling. She said before she leaves, true to God, that she must carry everything she came with. They call for village meeting. They say, okay, before you leave, girl, man, carry your things. The man said, let her carry first. The girl started, picked up television. She picked everything, put it aside. The only thing that was in the house was zinc and floor. If you may hold, they say, okay, young man, pick up your own things. The man just went, held the girl's hand. Automatically, everything you picked out of this hand, plus yourself, you belong to me. If you understand that, stop competing with your wife. Stop telling your wife, what kind of, you are a crazy woman. If she's a crazy woman, she's married, you are married to Mrs. Crazy. That makes you a crazy man. Stop telling your wife, you are very stupid, you are an idiot. If your wife is stupid, it means you're married to a stupid woman. That makes you Mr. Stupid. Do you still love me? Are you sure? We want to pour back love into marriages in this town. Listen, we should be able to go around her and see husband and wife. And you'll be asking, are they cutting? We went for a leadership seminar in Lagos. And we stayed with them in this leadership seminar for 5 days. They didn't know we were married. They thought he was my boyfriend. As a matter of fact, tying wrapper is bound in my house. Tying wrapper. My mother-in-law had to ask her, I said, when on a board, what should I take carry the pikin? That takes us to the next one. It's called Table of Showbread. Every man in the house shout hallelujah. Listen to me. If you are born and you look at your body, it's not a hole, it's a penknife. It means provider. I'm going to say it again. When you are born, you look at yourself. You look at yourself like this. You didn't see a hole, you see a rod. What it means is you are a provider. If you're not ready to provide, please don't get into any kind of relationship. Even dating is expensive. For instance, today is public holiday. Dating is expensive. What are you talking about? It's very expensive. Christo, you know that dating is expensive. Public holiday. You have been giving the girl excuse. Now bank work now. With the resume by 7, close by 9. Okay, today is bank is a public holiday. It's expensive. Valentine's Day. The girl's birthday, her mother's birthday. What are you talking about? You won't marry my sister and we they do something for house. You know, come. You go stand for this as they look us. Or a born, you know. We will examine you. So, a man, if you're a man, please provide for your family. Provide for your family. I heard that there are some parts of Nigeria where the man will have about 10 wives. And then you have about 70 children. The wives provide for themselves. Your children, the children provide for themselves. Is an error. Marriage is not business. Dating is not a business. What is it? It is a destiny walk. So it's important that I remind everybody that is married. Now, if your husband had a problem with the work and you are the one providing, don't provide and curse him. Provide and still respect him. And let's join our hands. When things are not working well in marriage, let's not destroy the things. Let's remember there were times that things worked. Now, may I say this? If you're a woman, don't ever tell a man, point at a man and say to a man, are you a man? Don't ever try it in your life. The way God built the man, he put ego in him. And you are supposed to massage his ego. You don't tell him words that bring him down. And listen to me, if you're a young man, you hang up with a lady that always brings you down. You know what you're doing? She is masticulating your ability to succeed. He is destroying your self-esteem. No matter how good she is in bed, leave that girl alone. Her hair. Am I talking? The girl should be able to tell you, I know you're a champion. I know you can make it. Even if she's the one that is providing, now people have challenges. I know you're a goal getter. I know that when you go out, you will do it. I remember sometime we're under the tutelage of Mama Amaga. She said something. Love Amaga. She said, even when they bring the money is not enough. Look at the man and tell the wife. The man said, my husband, I know that if you have more, you would have brought. But this little one you have, I will make sure and use it. Wherever it will reach us, please let's manage it. Not they give you the money. You say, now this one, now your mates they bring. Now this, you got chop food today. At night, you put empty soup pot and empty garri pot. You serve it very well. And then you receive the man, you are teasing him. Say, my husband, come and eat. He sits down, he thinks that you have already eaten with your children. No, you have already eaten with you. He sat down, opens the plate. The plate is empty. You put the money inside it. Such a woman is a wicked woman. And if you are dating such a girl, leave her alone. Who let the dogs out? Her heart is made of stone. No, if she's doing this thing, you will are dating. When she's waiting to marry, that time nobody can bring the woman out of your house. She will take chair and stand in front. Someone can't remove me now. Are you still here? That takes us, when it gets to this place, there is only one person that enters here. When it gets to this place, only one person. Only this person, and this person is your husband. All you men, yesterday you were with Sue. From Sue with, to a saucer. From a saucer to... From Melinda to from your wife is asking, where have you been? Where have you been? Yesterday I had Stephanie Cocos. The other day I had hippies. Where have you been? Nobody goes to office and returns and sleeps with his wife. The wife will start scratching. It must be a wonderful office. I want to now begin talking to. This is the advice somebody was given. And this same advice I want to give us. It says, dear friend, pay close attention to this, my wisdom. Pay close attention to this, my wisdom. Listen very closely to the way I see it. Then you will acquire a taste for good sense. What I tell you will keep you out of trouble. Reverend Ben has secured the future, brought you here to keep your future out of trouble. The lips of a seductive woman or man are, oh, so sweet. Her soft words are so soft. But it won't be long before she's a gravel in your mouth. A pain in your gut, a wound in your heart. You know what he's talking about? One of the ways that we get into sexual traps are flattery words and teasing. These are open invitations for trouble. Young man, say what you mean and mean what you say. Not when they catch you. You say, I didn't say, I meant, please, if I love you means I love you. Let it be I love you. Not when the day of trouble comes. Say, when I said I love you, I meant, you know, Mama K, living your dream, said there are four kinds of love. You understand. Say, I didn't mean I meant with the Jesus love. Can't I love you? Are we not brothers and sisters in church? I love you like any other person. Say, when I say you are beautiful, I can tell that to my brother, I can tell that to my sister. It doesn't make any difference. If you are teasing a woman, please, when you finish, let her know that you are teasing her. Don't say, the way you looked, I felt. And then the girl thinks it's an open invitation for the next level. When you finish, let her know, I was teasing you. The second one, he says, she's dancing down the prince rose path to death. She's heading straight for hell and taking you with her. She hasn't a clue about real life. Oh my God. This woman or this man, I want to tell you his biggest problem. He doesn't know what life is about. He just feels that life is all about fantasy. A lot of us actually do not have grasp about life. Many of us think, let me tell you what happened to me yesterday. I was going on a school run. I looked at the time, it was 7:15. I said, at 7:15. I said to myself in my mind, I will get there by 7:15. By the time I got to the school, I looked at the time, it was almost 8:05. I said, what happened? What was my mindset? I thought that by the time I arrive at that place, it will still be 7:15. Many of us do not know that we are growing old. Some of us have forgotten our age, especially when everybody say, oh, not be you when they're born yesterday. Hey, you are growing old. And when you grow old, you start having a better understanding about life. Life is not all about sex. Life is not all about money. Life is not all about power. Life is not all about things. Money have values, they can fly away. Life is about real values. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have to hang out with people who have values. Hang out with people who can tell you, this girl is wrong. Hang out with people who can tell you. I'm going to treat Proverbs chapter 5, and after that I'll come down. Is that okay? Real life issues. There are many people who hang out around us that have no reason to hang out around us. Earlier on I told you about words. There are people that when they see life as biscuit and Fanta. There are people who don't think about the future. There are some husbands who spend money today and not think about tomorrow. I've met people when they were young, young parents, they had money. When the children grew, there was no money to take care of the kids. You spent money in everything that will not matter eventually. That's how this person is. He said, listen closely. Don't treat my words casually. Keep your distance from such a woman. Absolutely stay out of her neighborhood. He's talking about people that will lure you to sex. You don't want to squander your wonderful life, to waste your precious life among the hard-hearted. When you spend your life sleeping with somebody you're not married to, what is happening to your life is that you're throwing it away. You're wasting your life. Fornication, adultery, masturbation, lesbianism, bestiality, gay and all that, they are a technical knockout to a beautiful destiny. There are so many things when you do, you can always bounce back. But when it comes to sexual things, most of us are never bounce back. You lose more than you know. He told you that this man does not have grasp about real life. When you go sleep with somebody you're not married to, you become bewitched. Bewitched means your mind is blind. You can't understand. You are bewitched. You lose a vision of the cross. You lose a vision of what should be. You lose a vision of how it will end. Premarital sex will make you pay now, and it will make you pay in the future. It is something that you always will pay. Let me tell you about premarital sex. Let's go. Why should you allow strangers to take advantage of you? Why be exploited by those who care nothing for you? You don't want to end your life full of regrets. Nothing but sin and bones. Please listen very attentively. To sleep with somebody you're not married to is to take an open check and you give it to somebody. Say, cash as much as you want. I'm going to trace some histories in the Bible for you. Each time you sleep with somebody you're not married to, you give yourself away. You never get real treatment for your real value. You are marked down. Like a cloth in a market. They say it's going for sales. The original price of the cloth maybe supposed to be $50. Marked down $5. Each time you sleep with somebody, premarital sex, we are dating. I said I love you or one night stand. What happens is the treatment you deserved originally, you will never get it once that art is done. Your true value is disintegrated. Do I still have friends? I want to show you some Bible history. There's a man in the Bible, his name is Gideon. Everybody here, you know the Gideon. Gideon had 70 children. He had many wives. Out of his 70 children, only one survived. What happened? Eventually, Gideon went and slept with a prostitute from Shechem. The prostitute gave birth to a man named Abimelech. When Gideon died, Abimelech rose up,
with his father, with his mother's people. He asked them, do you want Gideon's children to come and rule us? They said no. They hired soldiers, paid them money. They slaughtered 70 of the children one day. Only one person escaped, Jonathan. Now, listen to what happened. When you sleep with somebody you are not married to, the future of your children, for those of you who are married, the future of your children is handed over to the hand of the strange woman, the child of the strange woman. Everything, their destiny, their future, their life. I did this in law school. Everything about their life, you hand it over to a strange woman. 70 children destroyed by one boy. And the boy eventually became a ruler who destroyed his father's house and eventually destroyed his mother's house. What is the lesson you learn from here? The 70 children, their destiny was transferred into the hands of one man through the union of sex. There is, when you are sleeping with somebody, your spirit is open. This person's spirit is open. There is a transfer of spirit. You do soul mortem. Now, when you drop your sperm in the wrong place, what you are dropping is not sperm. You are dropping blood. You are dropping your life. And each time you sleep with this person, you come into a blood covenant. Man, if you look at your body, there is something called testicles that came from the word testify. That came from the word testimony. Woman, if you look at yourself, there is something called hymen. The man has to break the hymen. That came from the word hymn. Means to worship. When you break the hymen, each time you enter a woman, you drop a blood covenant. But beyond dropping a blood covenant, you give her an open check. She gives you an open check. 50, 70, 80 years of your life is dropped on the one thrill of sex. It is something you wouldn't want to waste. That's why I said, do you want to squander your wonderful life? Do you want to waste your precious life among the hard-hearted? Wow. When you do this, I don't want to talk about sexually transmitted disease. Everybody's talking about it. I don't want to emphasize your value. But let me tell you, when I say you're marked down, your purity is violated. Your soul is annihilated. Your personhood disintegrated. Your wealth denigrated. Your covenant confiscated. Your purpose obliterated. Just by sleeping with somebody that you're not married to. The Message Bible calls it a cheap thrill of sex, but you can't pay for it. Those who are showing you sex in Hollywood, they won't show you this part. Why didn't I listen to my mentors or take my teacher seriously? My life is ruined. I haven't one blessed thing to show for my life. Never take love for granted. What is another trap for sex? Another sexual trap is an undisciplined life. Disobedience. You are in this seminar. We spend some money. We spend some energy. We are telling you the consequences of your action. You say people have been doing it. Anything you cannot control will one day rule you. Hunger is a legitimate need. How you go about satisfying your hunger is what we talk about. The Bible said if a thief was caught, if a thief stole, nobody caught him. Well, but if anybody catches him, he will pay 7 times. If you go to somebody's vineyard, somebody's altar, and you deposit your sperm, you know what you have done? You are a thief. You have released a sacrifice in the wrong altar. What happens? Death reflected. Each time you insert your penis or you go into masturbation or any kind of sex, once you do that, the moment you do it, you drop something you can't recover. You ruin your life. I wrote something. Every attraction you allow to become a distraction will provoke ungodly action that will become a destruction. Write it down. Every action you allow to become a distraction will provoke ungodly action that will become a destruction. Hollywood will convince you you can't control it. They will tell you it's a way of relaxation. They will tell you there's nothing in it. Are you a small girl? They wouldn't tell you that this will put you in a curse. They wouldn't tell you that by the time you finish, you'll be wondering, why did I reject a disciplined life? As I begin to bring my preaching to a close, I say to us, your spring water is for you and should not be passed around among strangers. Bless your fresh flowing water. Enjoy the wife you married as a young man. Lovely as an angel, beautiful as a rose. Don't ever quit taking delight in her body. Never take her love for granted. Now look at this. Why would you trade enduring intimacies for cheap thrills with a whore? Enduring intimacies is when you get into marriage. Cheap thrill with a whore is when you just do something for the now. For a dalliance with a promiscuous stranger, mark well that God doesn't miss any move you make. He's going to get you. He's aware of every step you take. The shadow of your sin will overtake you. You will find yourself stumbling all yourself in the dark. Death is the reward of an undisciplined life. Your foolish decisions trap you into a dead end. I beg to stop here. When you sleep with somebody you are not married to, it beclouds your judgment. You will not be able to say for real whether this person is the person or not. When you sleep with somebody you're not married to, it stuns character development. When you sleep with somebody you're not married to, the next thing that happens is what I want to tell you, and it's very painful. If we read further, when you get home, read it. It says, sleeping with a stranger reduces a man or a woman to a loaf, a piece of bread. Now I want you to imagine your destiny. Reverend Ben believes so much in this country, believes so much in us, and that's why they organize this program. It's not just entertainment. You're not just coming to be entertained. There's enough entertainment going on. Why they are putting entertainment, they are repositioning your mind. I heard him saying, maybe some of you here will be president, you'll be senators. All that entire destiny reduced to a houseboy because of cheap thrill of sex. I want to ask you, the enjoyment of sex, how long does a sex section last? Do you carry the enjoyment, the sweetness on your head? Do you carry it to bank walk? How you feel in bed? How you felt when you slept with that person? When you leave the room, do you carry the enjoyment and you're going everywhere with the enjoyment? You don't. Even if you hit orgasm, bah! Give yourself any minute from now, you calm down. Even if you are very good that you can do 5 times in the night, when you finish, you calm down. When you come out, there is nothing to show for it. May I tell you this? Sex brings a curse, and you can remove the curse from your life. You can destroy the curse of sex. I want you to ask yourself this question. Put sex before me, put my future. Which one, foregone alternative, which one should I trade off? Put sex. How many of you were at the last manifest? Put sex before me. Put my future. Put being the president of this country. Did I tell you about Jephthah in the Bible? Jephthah, his mother was a prostitute too. The father slept with the mother. When the boy grew up, his family said, let's drive him away so that he will not share in our inheritance. Forgetting that the day your father slept with a prostitute, your inheritance was handed over to the boy. An open check. When there was war in the land, they went to call Jephthah. You know what they said to Jephthah? Go to war for us. Jephthah said, if I go to war, will I rule over you? They said, yes. The moment he came back, when your dad went outside to give birth, 2 things happened to you. But I thank God for Jesus. But get this knowledge. He carries your future. He carries your inheritance. The thing you are struggling for. Hey, you are not my Papa Bonham. Kick him out. You are talking about physical things. He carries your life. He carries your destiny. If you were destined in your life to own a company in every major city of the world, that destiny is handed over to a son of a prostitute just by a cheap thrill of sex. But today, there is a way out. Faithfulness to your partner. Not safe sex. Faithfulness to your partner. commitment. Make a quality commitment to Jesus and to your partner. The next one is quality decision. A decision that there is no turning back. When you make this quality decision, you don't work it out with works. I asked my children, how does orange branch produce fruits? Just by hanging on to the tree. How do you stop those of us who love sex to the point that there's nothing they say, just cooperate with Jesus. In union with Jesus, it's possible. Make investments on your mind. Please, young people, let's begin to invest. Reverend Ben, can we reposition this nation without investing on our minds? Each time you pass a book, you reject knowledge. You pass a bookshop, they are selling books. You leave it and pass. And you go to where they are selling clothes. Listen to me. If you buy the book, very few years from now, you will have a factory producing those clothes you are going to buy. Make an investment in your mind. Young people, can I tell you again? They say in Benin City, people hate reading. They say in Niger Delta, if you want to get them together, organize entertainment for them, put up seminars, they don't go. But there is a next generation, a new generation with a peace plan in their hands that stands up to say, we are not just entertainment driven, we are business driven, we are leadership driven. Everything we do, please make an investment on your mind. Benin people, Edo State, we can turn this place to New York. We can turn this place to Lagos. It's not the city, it's the people. It is the people that makes the city. May I tell you, there is something I tell them at Femme Foundation. Listen to me. It is not the dress, it is who wore the dress. It is not the slippers, it is who wore the slippers. It is not where you are living, it is who is living here. Do you know that if government house moves from where it is and goes to where you call Morocco in Sabamba, automatically that place will turn to GRA. I'd like you to make such investment in your life that wherever you stand, it turns to GRA. Wherever you stand, it turns. Listen to me. Bill Gates was nobody until you began to see the investments of his child. Let me ask you, where is your brain child? I have seen your shoe. I have seen your clothes. I have seen your wristwatch. I love your Versace suit. I love your TM Lewis shirt. Where is your mind? What is your mind producing? Show me the problems your mind has solved. Oh, I want to jump down. But before they take the microphone, I'd like you to bet on your friend. 5 years from now, I will answer that question. 2 years from now, I will answer this question. And Reverend Ben left the bank and came here. Look at what he has organized. When he said, God asked me to go, we now believe. Even if we didn't believe before, we believe now. Because he said, if you do not believe me, believe because of the works. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a Christian, it is not by going around harassing everybody with your Bible. It is your evidence that will produce, that you produce, that will tell who you are. This book of the law should not depart from your mouth. Even when we sing, let there be investment in the song. Let our song not be, I slew you, you fell. I slept with you, you danced. It shows that character is in short supply. We can sing a song on the problems of the Niger Delta and how to solve it. We can sing a song on peace plan. Whatever we do, make an investment on your mind. And if you want to get out of this curse, recognize your weakness. Oh God, help me. Recognize your weakness. Repent is change your mind. Renounce, and then ask for a release. And we want to do this now. Renounce, God, my body has been doing it, but today I make a commitment. I'm led to say that there are some people here, the bondage you're suffering, you want to leave the girl, don't know how to go about it. When you sleep with somebody, it's difficult to leave the person. She knows what you know. She feels what you feel. She says what you say. She follows you everywhere. You don't love her character, but you don't know how to leave her. You know why? There is a soul montem. Your life and her life has missed. You married her, you didn't pay a bride price. Rise on your feet.